chapter number 14 this morning. John chapter 14. Can I get rid of that? Okay. I'm going to put that out towards you to pick up your coughing. All right. You're coughing. Hopefully I got rid of the coughing finally. The headache, the tiredness is not gone yet, but the coughing is at least. Praise the Lord for that. John chapter number 14. So grateful for the promise of heaven. I don't know why, but I think I know part of the reason, but this week has been just an emotional roller coaster for, I know, many of us. I preached in chapel of the Berean Thursday, and I just kind of lost it emotionally, but it was kind of sweet. At the end of the service, a couple of high school girls came up and said, "Can we give you a hug?" I had to tell my wife that to make her jealous, but it didn't work. Yeah, my grandchildren, you know, it's kind of funny when you go to your home church and preach in the school chapel. It used to be that, "Well, I know who your parents are." And you know, you meet the kids and they introduce themselves. "Well, I know you're so-and-so's daughter or son or whatever." And now it's like, "I know who your grandparents are." But, oh, boy. But anyways, John chapter number 14. If you found your place there in the Bible, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, in respect to the Word of God as we read John chapter number 14. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. Isn't it good to know Jesus? In this life filled with heartache and trouble, there's nothing greater than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, what he's talking about in the first six verses of this chapter is only half of the message. We rejoice in heaven, but there's something else that I think a lot of us neglect to emphasize today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the blessing it is to know you. And to know, as the song said, we're sheltered in the arms of God, safe and secure, where no man can pluck us out of your hands. Not even the devil himself can pluck us out of your hands. We're safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Not because we're good enough, not because we deserve it, but because we've trusted Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross of Calvary. That we have a hope of His resurrection. That as He was raised from the dead, so we too are raised to walk in newness of life. And God, one day we'll be raised to see you face to face, as we sang earlier. Oh, what a day that'll be. We long to see you. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. What a hope, what a joy we have in Christ. Bless now your word in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. I love this passage of Scripture. I love this section of Scripture. The chapters that follow John chapter number 14. We were looking briefly at chapter 15 this week, and I've just been kind of stuck this week in John 14, 15, and 16 this week. And remembering the days early in my salvation, how I fell in love with these chapters and the truths that God gives us. And Jesus started out this message, if you will, in verse number 1 of chapter number 14 with those great words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And I want to use that for a text this morning. And it's no surprise to anybody, it's no shock to anyone that we live in troublesome times today. There's much to be troubled about in our world today, everywhere we look. God gave us a warning in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Well, we sure see that in our world today. I used to preach on that passage of Scripture and say that's the entertainment industry. In fact, some of you remember when you were younger, they had the TV guide. They used to tell you what's on television, and now you can choose what's on television. And I thought, boy, they should just print that on the cover of the television guide. The perilous times. But now, we don't have to watch them in an imaginary world and in the idiot box, as my dad used to call it, on the television. Now we see it everywhere. I don't care to read the news. Somebody asked me the other day, do you get the newspaper? Yeah, but I seldom look at it. There's not much in there worth looking at. Unless you want to get discouraged and defeated, and I don't really care to buy the product of fear and anger and hatred that the news media is selling us. It doesn't matter which news media cover, the liberal or conservative, they're all selling you a product that I really don't care to purchase. I like the words of God far better than anything you're going to read there. But we have certainly many things to be troubled about, to be anxious, to be careful about today. But Jesus still tells us, let not your heart be troubled. In fact, if you're familiar with this chapter or this message, you remember that Jesus made that statement two different times. Both times he's emphasizing something different. And I want to look at those two times this morning. First of all, I want to say, let not your heart be troubled, because we have a place that's prepared for us. Amen. We sing about heaven. We talk about heaven. We sung about heaven today. In fact, that song that the lady sang, I thought it would have fit better in the message if you sang the second verse first and the first verse second. But you didn't know that. But there's a great message in that song. One day, the portals are going to open. One day, we're going to be in the very presence of God. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And since I'm going, I will come again. What a great promise that is. One day He's going to come and He's going to take us to that place called heaven, only if you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have any hope to get there. Thomas, of course, was a confused disciple, just like all the disciples were, just like a lot of us are confused about a lot of things. And Thomas said, well, we're not sure what you're talking about. How can we know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus made it very clear. I am the way. Not one of many ways. I am the way. I am the truth. Not my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. Not that somebody else. No, I am the one and only truth. I am the one and only way. I am the one and only life. A lot of times folks say, boy, this is the life. And they're talking about doing different things that they enjoy. No, the life is Jesus Christ. Without Him, we have no life. Every breath we take is a gift from God. Every beat of our heart is a gift of God. Every step we take, the fact that we're able to stand up on our feet is a gift of God. Everything we have is a gift of God. And He is the only one that I know that's worth giving our life for. And He's the only one that's worth focusing all our attention on, that's worthy of all of our love. In fact, Jesus said that's the greatest of all commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, with everything in your being, to love Him. And we have a place that He is preparing for us, not because we're good enough, but because He's gracious. Because He has offered us His mercy and His grace. In Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 2, God says we have a hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What a great thought that is. God promised eternal life before the foundation of this world was ever made. That tells us God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. As well as, you know, with God, there's no such thing as time. Before the world began, God already knew that He was going to create Adam and Eve, that they were going to fall into sin, and because of their sin, all of us were condemned under sin. He knew that ahead of time, before He even created this earth. And He also knew that He was going to love that world that He created, and He was going to send His only begotten Son to die for our sins, for my sins, for your sins, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And He knew who all the whosoevers were. He saw me in eternity past and said, whosoever. You know, a great way to quote that verse in the book of Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, is to put your name in there. If I call on the name of the Lord, I remember as a new Christian looking at verse 8, if Rocky Fritz would call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Thank God that God saves whosoever. And I'm glad to be a part of the whosoever. We have a hope of eternal life. No matter what we face in this world, our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the next world. Our hope is in eternity in heaven. We're longing for that day. And I just, every year I live, I'm longing more for that day, for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn your Bible, keep your place here in the book of John, but turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, that's a little book in the New Testament. Hey, if you have to use the index to find it, you feel free to look at the index. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, right before 2 Thessalonians, all right? Thought it'd help you out a little bit there. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, I want you to see this great book right before the books of Timothy. They're not very big either. Before Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Or wouldn't you like to live in a town of Thessalonica when you were a kid? I would have struggled with that. I would have been 20 before I could say the name of my town that I lived in. Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, I want you to see these wonderful verses. Verse number 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. Surely when someone dies, when a loved one dies, we sorrow, we grieve, we're hurt. We know what it is to feel that pain, that loneliness. But our sorrow is not the same as the rest of the world. Because we have a hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. I would not that you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. That you sorrow not even like the world sorrows. Like those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that this morning? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. In other words, they've died, they've gone to heaven. We've got loved ones in heaven right now. Hey, when Jesus comes back, as He said He's going to come back, they're coming with Him. When I'm up there before He comes back, I'm coming with Him. You'll see me riding, I'm not much of a cowboy, but you'll see me riding a white horse right behind Him. I used to tell Rex Hickman, I think my horse's name is going to be Rex. Yeehaw, Rex, let's go. That's the first time you'll see me as a cowboy. And nobody's ever accused me of being a cowboy before. God will bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're in the grave. Well, how are they going to be rising? They've been in the grave for 10, 100, thousands of years. God's going to give them a new body. God answers that question back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, but we won't go there right now. Then we which are alive, we're still here on this earth when He comes, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a hope. What a comfort. In fact, God concludes it with these words in verse number 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I can't think of anything more comforting than to know that we've got a place prepared by Jesus Christ. The way is prepared by Him, and our home is prepared by Him. But that's not all that God says to let not your heart be troubled over. Because we've got something right now that we can enjoy. We're grateful for what we have now in Christ. Look at the Gospel of John again in chapter number 14. And this whole chapter and the next two chapters are so good. John chapter number 14. Just look at two verses here to start with. I could go in a lot of different directions here. But just verse number 26 and verse 27 of chapter 14. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." What a great name for the Comforter. The Comforter, the administer of God's grace. The one who can do the impossible through us. You know, that word is a little bit deceiving to me. When I was a kid, my mom did a lot of knitting, is that what you call it? With Afghans, not Afrikaans, but Afghans, lay it on the couch. And sometimes we call that, I think somebody called them a comforter or a thing that you put in the bed after you make the bed. Some of you teenagers, what's making a bed all about? What's that? But a comforter, something that just kind of covers things up. But that's not what the word comforter means. The word comforter means the one who enables us, the one who strengthens us, the one who gives us God's grace. The Comforter, the one who strengthens us, who is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And by the way, He's going to teach us from this book right here. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God cannot be separated. That's a mistake a lot of people make today. I'm glad I had a pastor as a new Christian that taught me that you cannot separate the Word of God from the Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit told you something and it's not in this book, that wasn't the Holy Spirit talking to you. That was another spirit. You better be careful of those other spirits that will lead you contrary to the Word of God. And some folks say, "Well, I know it's not the Bible, but God told me this." That wasn't the God of heaven telling you that. That was another God telling you that. But notice what He says in verse number 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not, not as the world giveth, I get ahead of myself. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can let not our heart be troubled, first of all, because we have a place prepared for us, and second, because we have a person living among us. And that person is the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's a few things I want to say about the Holy Spirit. By the way, He ought to be your best friend. He ought to be the one that you realize is walking with you everywhere you go. The one that is there to enable you, to strengthen you, to encourage you. In fact, one of His names in verse number 27 is peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you." That's a name that He's saying. God's peace, God's presence is with you. God Himself is with you in the person of peace, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the pneumas of God. Notice some things that God says about the Holy Spirit. We can spend a lot of time because that's the emphasis of this whole message from Jesus from chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter number 16. But I'm thankful that we have a person living among us. It doesn't matter how bad the world gets, we don't have to be troubled because we've got a better place that we're going to. And we've got someone that walks us through the fire right now. And this world could get much worse than it is right now. We live in very comfortable days as Christians in America today. We don't realize how good we have it. We have no comprehension of what most of the world lives in because we've got life so easy here. But just in case we ever come across real trouble, across real heartache, across real bloodshed, I think of what Christians are going through in the Ukraine right now. I don't know how many of you are keeping up with our missionary that we support and the preachers that he works with. I watched a video last night of a preacher that loaded his car and trailer up with as much food as he could and took it into a war zone where his life was in danger everywhere he went. And just to see those people that he was bringing just a few rations to so that they could survive another day. And if we ever face hardship like that, which I have no doubt we very well could in our lifetime, but we have something that can be a great help to us, and that is knowing that we have a person living among us called the Holy Spirit of God. And God says a number of things about the Holy Spirit. And first of all, I want you to see this. I just have some star points I want to give you. This morning, I'm not sure if I number these or what, but we need to realize that who this Holy Spirit is, that He is the omnipotent God who lives in us. The omnipotent God lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit is God. That's the emphasis that God gives throughout these chapters. And Jesus says, hey, I and the Father are one, and I and the Holy Spirit are one, and you will be one with us as well. Notice how he introduces him in verse number 16 of chapter number 14. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to leave you behind, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And think of the relief the disciples felt, because they've been with Jesus for 3 years, and every time he wasn't physically with them, they messed up big time. And now he says, I'm going to leave you. I can think of the fear that they're feeling. Oh no, what's going to happen when you're not here? He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may guide you, that he may abide with you forever. There's two words there that describe who the Holy Spirit is that go together, that are part of the word. You see the ones capitalized, a comforter, but that word before that, another comforter. Those two words are key words in understanding, and I don't have time to go through a whole study on those two words, but that word another means that it's someone different, but he's of the same essence. He is the same person, but he's not the same. And he's talking about the third person of the triunity of God. Now, we can't fully understand that because we can't understand the triunity of God. How can God be three persons all in one person? And he is another, but he's the same one as me. And he is the paraclete, is the word. And that's a great word to understand and know what that means. He's the enabler. He's the one that will lift us up when we fall. He's the one that will carry us when we can't go on anymore. And he is the very person of Jesus Christ. So he is not in the flesh. He is a spirit. And God, in essence, is a spirit. But the Holy Spirit is God. We need to understand that. And the Holy Spirit is true. Now, Jesus said in verse number 6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. And in chapter number 17, he's going to say, thy word is truth. But the Spirit, notice what he says in verse number 17. Even the Spirit of, what's that word? Truth. The Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus is truth. The Word of God is truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And notice what else he says in verse number 17. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's a key statement there about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who is truth. And the world can't know him. The world doesn't comprehend him. The world, because all the world has to operate on is what they can see, what they can grasp with their own hands, what they can comprehend in their unregenerate mind without salvation. they can never know the truth until they know the person of truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you trust the person of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Word, the book of truth, the Word of God, then the Spirit of truth comes to live inside of you. Whew! What a great God we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you realize who lives inside of you? Let not your heart be troubled. He is the triunity of God. And we can enjoy His presence. In verse number 20 of chapter number 14, it says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." There's a triunity in God, but notice He includes us in that triunity of God. Wow! The God that lives inside of me is the same God that's sitting on the throne in heaven. The same God that our eyes cannot look upon because of the glory of God. The same God that the angels are around that throne crying out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." The same God that the angels need to cover their faces from. That God is the God that lives inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. What do we have to be afraid of? How can we be afraid of anything? Let not your heart be troubled. God's preparing a place for us, but let not your heart be troubled because we've got the person of God living inside of us. Now, think of this. This is another little bullet point, a rabbit trail we could follow, I guess. We could, if you could draw a rabbit trail, you could put that for a mark. But just a bullet point that follows behind a rabbit trail, doesn't it? Jesus, and think of this, when Jesus was here on this earth, He was not limited by the laws of nature. You think of all the miracles that He did. From starting turning the water into the wine, walking on the water. And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey His will." As He calmed the sea, raising the dead. Wow. What kind of person is it? The laws of nature didn't stop Him. Jesus was not limited by the laws of nature. And I don't want you to go to an extreme with this, but there's nothing that God can't do in our life. That same God lives inside of us. Now, I'm not charismatic here, okay? I'm not going to have a healing campaign. In fact, there were thousands, millions of people that died and Jesus didn't raise them all from the dead. He didn't heal all those with sickness, but He did enough to show that He was a messenger from God, and He raised Himself from the dead to show that He was God Himself. But Jesus was not limited by the laws of nature, and sometimes we put God in a little box and we limit Him. That Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is not limited by our understanding. Is not limited by the laws of nature and what makes sense in our lives. And I've seen folks go through the trials of life and the heartaches and carry such heavy burdens, and yet God sustains them and strengthens them through that. That's the grace of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Comforter living inside of us. That doesn't make sense, the world would say. How can you face this trial and go on singing and whistling and rejoicing in the Lord? That God failed you. No, God didn't fail me. God will never fail me. God will never forsake me. But He's not limited. He can do above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. And another thing about this Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, and picturing Jesus in His earthly ministry, men were powerless to defeat Jesus Christ. You know, there's nothing in your life that can happen to you that can discourage you, that can defeat you as a Christian if you're walking in the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I have a right to be upset. I have a right to throw a little fit. I have a right to throw a little pity party. Oh, not if I'm walking with Jesus Christ. Not if the Holy Spirit's living inside of me. Oh, He is greater than anything that I'll ever face in this world. Just as no one could tie Him up until He willingly gave Himself. I love the pictures of Jesus when the crowd picked up, this happened a couple of times, they picked up stones to stone Him. when he got done teaching. They didn't like what he was saying, and he just walked right through the middle of them. Nobody could touch him because he was God. I like it when the guards and the Romans came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he stood up and said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "We seek Jesus." And they all fell back on their back. And he said, I'm here. Hey, guys. I could just see him helping them up. Hey, guys. Who was it again that you're looking for? Hey, I'm right here. But no man had the power to arrest him. No one had the power to take his life. Well, the Romans killed him. The Jews killed him. No, he gave his life. He is life. No one could take his life from him. He willingly gave his life. Men are powerless against this Christ. Men are powerless against the Holy Spirit that lives inside. Let not your heart be troubled. Hey, what's the worst they could do? They could take your life. Well, then we get to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's cause for rejoicing. But we get so worked up about things in our life because we forget that men are powerless against the Holy Spirit of God. Let not your heart be troubled. We have a person living among us. And this world, we need to understand, this world has nothing to do with this Christ. This world has nothing to do, no use for the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you go a little farther down in the chapter, the last verses of this chapter, look at verse number 30. Jesus said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." This world is no friend to God's people. Never has been, never will be a friend to God's people. Is this vile world a friend of grace to lead me on to God? No. This world has nothing to do with God. Hey, this world will offer you all kinds of religion, all kinds of self-help, all kinds of pat you on the back to make you feel better, but this world wants nothing to do with the Bible, Jesus Christ. This world wants nothing to do to lead you to Jesus Christ. This world wants nothing to do to lead you to salvation in Him. But they're a good person. This is a good world, but no, this world's tainted by sin everywhere I look. You know, I love this time of year as the leaves change color, but just remember this, they're changing colors because they're dying. And Jesus is going to make them alive again in the springtime. It's the cycle of life. And we see beauty in death. And isn't that just like the devil to make us think that death is so beautiful? Without Christ, without the hope of Christ, death is a terrible thing. Death is a dark, miserable thing. But we have a hope in Christ because we don't have to let our heart be troubled. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And notice this in verse number... We're going to jump ahead a couple of verses. That He is peace. That He is calm. You know, when you think of peace, and the world's always talking about, well, we want to have peace on earth. You know, every beauty pageant, that's their number one bet. Well, we want peace on earth. We want everybody to get along. We just want everybody to love each other and on and on. But their idea of peace is far different than God's idea of peace. You see, we cannot have peace as long as there's sin present. And the reason this world will always have strife and toil and turmoil is because of our sin nature. You say, well, wait a minute, I have a sin nature, but we could still be at peace with God. And we can still be at peace with ourselves if we walk in the presence of Jesus Christ and recognize His presence. You see, peace, as the world defines it, is absence of conflict. When there's no conflict, there is peace. But God's peace is a calmness in the midst of conflict. You read the testimonies, and I read quite often from one of our missionaries that's ministering to folks in the Ukraine, and the turmoil, the bombs going off. In fact, this preacher yesterday with the video, you could hear the bombs going off behind him while he was doing the video. And he's not even flinching anymore. He's gotten so accustomed to it and so used to it. And it doesn't bother him a bit because he's got the peace of God in the midst of the conflict, even in a war zone. We can. And by the way, if you're saved today, you're living in a war zone because this world is not a friend of God. This world's not a friend of the Holy Spirit.
of God. But thank God that we have a person living among us, and we can let not our heart be troubled. I want you to look at verse chapter number 16, and just the last verse in this great chapter, how Jesus concludes the whole message that He's giving here in chapter 14, 15, and 16. Verse number 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have trouble. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have famine. You're going to have death. You're going to have pestilence. You're going to have enemies. But be of good cheer. Well, praise the Lord. Like the disciples when they were beaten in the book of Acts, they went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Instead, we want to have a pity party. Oh, feel sorry for us. Look at how bad I've got it. But ye be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You know, sometimes you ask people how they're doing. Well, I'm okay under these circumstances. Get out from under those circumstances. Walk with Jesus Christ. Don't be bound by your situation. Don't let your heartache and your trouble and your burdens define who you are. Define yourself in the name of Jesus Christ. That He is greater than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we have a hope. We have a confidence in Him no matter what we're facing in life. Let not your heart be troubled. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. And as long as we're in this world, we have a person living among us. And that person is God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, these promises don't apply to you. There is no hope beyond this life without Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. And if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior today, there is no peace and calm assurance in this world today. Oh, the devil may smooth things over once in a while just to give you that false hope. And by the way, he's good at that. I lived under that influence for some time in religion until I realized that I am a sinner, lost and condemned. And I tell you, the peace of God is a million, a billion, a trillion, a quadzillion, I don't know what the biggest number is, times better than any false peace that the devil can give you. And the devil will do his best to give you a false hope, a false peace. But there is no greater calm than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing whatever comes my way, I'll be all right because Jesus is there with me. He'll walk me through the fire. He won't take me around it. He'll walk me right through it. And we'll be just fine. We'll come out on the other side without even the smell of smoke on us. Amen? And we'll go through the water without even getting wet because He's going to carry us through that water, through the flood, some through the fire, some through the flood, all through the blood. I messed that song. I don't know how that song goes. I'd have to sing it to get the words right, and I'm not going to do that right now. But God leads us along. Thank God for the hope that we have in Him. Let not your heart be troubled. If you're not saved, I encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior so you can say with us, hey, my heart's not troubled because I have a place prepared for me and I have a person living inside of me, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you to stand.